Please turn with me tonight to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. And the subscription says, this is a psalm of David, David the King. And my title is The Voice of the Lord. Very simple. The Voice of the Lord. I read verse 1. Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord. My dear friends, does God speak? Undoubtedly, there is no doubt about it. God speaks. But the problem is us. We are the problem. Will we listen? Will we heed to God's voice? And you know, many times in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the people were told, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. And many times in the Gospels, at least 13 times, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his hearers, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So the problem is not with God, because God speaks, and he spoke, and he still speaks. But the problem is with us. God, my friends, is not like us. Will you agree with that? Oh, yes. In our world, we brought him so low. We brought him to our level. But God is not like us. He is impressive. God is impressive. And this is what really we are going to look at tonight. May I ask before I really come to the text itself, what is a Christian? And some people, yes, I want to be a Christian, but do they really understand what it means to be a Christian? May I give you the simplest definition from this psalm? A Christian is a man or a woman who have heard the voice of God. That's the simplest meaning. But the person who have heard, as the hymn writer will put it, the person who have heard, Jesus said unto me, come unto me and rest. Come unto me and rest. It's actually from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. So a Christian is someone who have heard the voice of God by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to him, and he found rest. And in the next verse, verse 21, Matthew 11, 21, 29, Christ said, take my yoke, it is light, and learn of me, you shall find rest for your soul. So we are speaking about the deep need of our soul. It's not just the deep need of our bellies or of our minds. It's the deep need of our souls. And here you see, this psalm, to come to the psalm, Psalm 29, I believe it is well constructed. It is well constructed. There is no way to doubt about it. But we are given elements of nature. Elements of nature, events of nature. The tornado, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the lightning, the storms. Everything is before us. The waters, the flood. These are elements of nature. But my dear friends, in the psalm you have an invite. It is an invite. Please look. See what is happening and believe. But many I know in this world are only looking. They are looking. Nature, nature, Mother Nature. But you know, there is no such thing as Mother Nature. I could even say daughter nature, but not mother nature, because nature has been created. Nature has a creator. So all these elements given to us here, speaking about these natural events, they all are coming from the hand and the voice of God. My dear friends, nothing happens without the voice and the hand of God. Nothing. Everything is in his hand. You know, may I challenge you tonight, when you go out, if you see a small wind, just a breeze of air, if you see a drop of rain, if you see great rain, if you see a flood, if you see a tsunami, or you hear about a tsunami, an earthquake, oh, it is a call. Look up, look up. There is someone great who is behind these things. And all these things are actually to teach us that there is God who created them. So that's why you and me shouldn't be naive. We shouldn't be gullible, just walking, thinking that real science, this is real science. It's here. Are you a scientist? Or you want to be a scientist? Oh, the Bible, who is not against science, says everything, all things, the plants, the animals, the people, everything was created by God. They go to Mars. They want to find another planet. They want to find another planet where there is water. They want to find the origin of life. But look at the amount of money that is spent in order to find the origin of life. But we say to them, it's here. And it's free. Use the money for something else. They are not here to hear us, of course. But we see the deprivation people are making by investing billions of dollars in things that are so useless for us. David, the king, the prophet, if you allow me, I never heard that, but I will say it tonight. The scientist, David the scientist. And the shepherd boy, David the shepherd boy, celebrates the power of God in this psalm. He celebrates the power of God, you know how? In a beautiful poetry. So if you like poetry, it's here for you. You like science, it's here for you. You like poetry, it's here for you. You like even literature, it's here for you. Psalm 29. I have three very simple headings. It's all here. You cannot miss it. As we said, this is the voice of God. The first heading is for you and me to give glory to God. That's the first one. Give glory to God. The second, listen to the Lord. And the third, look what God gives. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11, that's the third one. God gives strength and peace. God gives strength and peace to the one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go one by one. The first one, look at it in verse 1 and 2. Give glory to the Lord. Give glory to the Lord. And the name of the Lord there, you can count it for yourself. L-O-R-D in capital letters comes with 18 times in 11 verses. 18 times. So which means this is not about nature. It is about the God of nature. And we are invited to give glory to God. And the most, the mighty, look, verse 1. The mighty, the influential people, the high-ranked people, even, may I say, angels, supernatural beings, mighty beings, they are all invited to give glory to God because all of them have been created. They have been created. So they are invited to give glory to God. And look at, it is majestic, really, the way it is put before us. Give unto the Lord. That's first. The verb there, give, ascribe, put on, or pay homage, and so on. Give unto, verse 2 again, give unto the Lord the glory. Three times there, you find that expression, give. We owe to God to give him our lives, my dear friends. You know why? Because God has created you and me. Oh, how much we owe our lives to God. Just touch your heart now. Touch your chest if you want. The beat of your heart, the breath you have, all these things have been given to you by God. If it was not so, just a word actually. Imagine the one who created all things, just a word, and your life will come to an end. But he says, I will keep him on this earth. I will show him tokens of love. I will show him tokens of grace. And hopefully, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with that irresistible call, he will humble himself and say, oh no, I'm a creature. And actually, I'm just nobody. I need God. I need God. Because when it says, give glory unto God, I believe he's saying, repent there. Acknowledge God. You acknowledge. You don't need me to give you a lecture on how to love yourself. This is simple. All of us, we have a degree in self-love. But when it comes to love the one who made us, how much we tarry, how much we are behind, how much we are hesitant, how much we are so behind. But you see, we are told, give. Unto God, the glory he deserves. Be grateful. He made you. Worship him. Confess your sins to him and believe in him. You see, it says there glory. There are three adjectives there. Glory or names or nouns. Glory, strength, and holiness. Give unto God the glory. Give unto God the strength. Give unto God the holiness, which means what? You and me, we are not holy. We are far from holy. We are sinners. We are depraved. We are repulsive. God is not able to relate or fellowship with us because we are so rotten. We are so filthy deep down in our hearts. And we need a new life. We need a new heart. This is what is happening with us. Oh, is God not worthy of your attention? He is so holy that we are told in the scriptures that even holy angels had to hide their face before him. But you and me, mortal beings, dust of dust, speck of dust, but we think we are somebody. But this is a psalm, verse 1 and 2, to remind us, give glory unto the Lord. Worship him. Repent from your sins. Believe in him. This is the meaning, really. But I come to the second one. Listen to the voice of God. Verse 3 and 9. Verse 3 to 9, actually. Verse 3 to 9. Oh, again, I don't have time to elaborate on this. But when you count the voice, the noun there, the voice of the Lord, seven times, it is inescapable. You cannot miss it. The voice of the Lord, seven times speaking to us, the power of the voice of the Lord is repeated. Superpower, supersonic power, magnificent power, sublime power, powerful power. That's the how you have to look at it. He is powerful. But you know, it speaks about the elements of nature there. You know, the waters, the flood. My dear friends, you know, even a deer, even an animal given birth in a bush or in a forest, it doesn't happen without the eye, the voice, and the hand of God. Nothing happens without him. So your life is really simple and small in the hand of this mighty God. And David is accustomed. He has not always been on the throne. He has not always been in a palace. This is a man who knew how to reflect on nature, how to appreciate nature, how to give thanks to the God of nature, the King of nature, the King of storms, the King of earthquakes, the King of tornadoes or hurricanes and so on. He knows how to give thanks to the Lord. So he heard the voice of God so many times. But my dear friends, instead of listing for you verse 3 to 9, the elements of nature there, every element I have just mentioned, every element is really to wake your soul from the stupor, from the sleep, from the slumber. You know, without conversion, I'm saying this in the gentlest way, without conversion, our soul is dormant. It is sleeping like a baby sleeping, and earthquake cannot wake us up. Tornado cannot wake us up. Tsunami will not wake us up. It required the voice of God. You see, the comparison here, read it later for yourself. When it says the voice of the Lord, when you compare, actually it says the voice of the Lord, then the next time it says the Lord. So the voice of the Lord equal the Lord. It is Him. It is about Him. So it requires from you all these elements. You know, the pandemics, the epidemics, storms and the floods, and everything. Even the rain is here. Can you make rain to rain? All those things are here to wake your soul up. Wake up from that sleep. It is as if David is telling us. May I take you one example? It says there in verse 5. Look at verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Recently, we hear so much about Lebanon. If you look at the flag of Lebanon, what do you see in the middle of the flag there? You have the emblem. The emblem of their flag is a cedar tree. And the cedar represents power. It symbolizes strength. It symbolizes duration. A cedar tree, I don't know how many years it can live, but it can live long. The longevity of a cedar tree is just incredible. But you see, God is able to break the powerful cedar tree. God is able. Do you see the veins? The veins in a lightning in the sky? Who made it? It is God. But all these elements are really to tell you, you need to wake up. And may I give you an example? There was a man, his name is Paul. He thought he was as powerful as a cedar tree. But this man was broken. I hope you see the verse 5 there. Yea, the Lord breaketh the stubborn Paul, the arrogant Paul, the proud Paul. Please read later 1 Timothy chapter 1. He tells us so. He said, I was arrogant. I was ignorant. I was full of myself. But God had to bring me down. And he was going on that way of Damascus, going traveling to arrest Christians. And he was stopped. How did he find himself? On his knees. From the horse he was riding down. Completely down, and he had to be called like a child. Saul, Saul! Before his eyes were opened by Ananias through prayer. So you see, we have here a man, you and me. We are soul seeders, and we need more than a thunder. We need the voice of the Lord. You know, the Bible opens. I have at least in mind almost if I could go through the Old Testament just to show you on so many occurrences, so many references with the voice of God. Let's start how the Bible opens. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, that's how the Bible begins. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And later in every element, when God spoke, you see the voice of God? The voice of God created all this. Let there be light. Let there be day one. Let there be night one. And it was so. And you know the refrain, the chorus that is given to us in Genesis chapter 1. And it was good. And it was good. And at the end, when man was created, it was very good. Then in the Garden of Eden, when God put their man, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. You remember in the garden they have sinned against God in Genesis 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. God in the cool of the night came into the garden. I believe that was not the only occasion God interacted with them. But God came after they have sinned and he said, Adam, where art thou? God spoke to them. And later, when you come to the book of Exodus, before the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, oh, there was lightning, the mountain was shaking, and everything was so scary and threatening. Even the people were so scared that they said to God, oh, they said to Moses, let God not to speak to us anymore. We want to hear from you only. And then I could carry on. Throughout the prophet, so many occasions, God spoke to the people. But when you come to the New Testament, oh my dear friends, every one of the apostles was called by the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we read Mark chapter 4. You know, in Mark chapter 4, there the Lord Jesus Christ had power over the elements of nature. He was able to say to the sea, stop, stand still, and it was calm. He was able to say to the storm, stand still, and it did happen. He was able to raise the dead. He just said, Lazarus, come forth, in John chapter 11, and Lazarus came forth. Oh, that's great power, my dear friends, through the voice. But the amazing voice of God was heard by so many at the cross of Calvary. Oh, my dear friends, the cross of Calvary, you know, we preach on that. The seven last words of Christ at Calvary. And you know many of them, if not all of them. What was that? That was compassion. That was love. And he even said, Father, forgive them. And before he gave up the spirit, he said, it is finished. It is finished. That sinners have nothing to do. You see, most religions, go and study religions, my dear friends. You study them. All religions are about rituals, ceremonies, bells, smells, candles. It's about pilgrimage. It's about good works. But the only religion that says, you have nothing to do. Oh, yes, if there is anything to do, you must repent and trust on the cross of Calvary. Because on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. You see, it's not the sound we are after. It's not even the tone we are after. But we are after the content of that sound. And my dear friends, it is in Hebrews chapter 1. You know what is said in Hebrews chapter 1? That in the past God spoke in diverse ways, in diverse manners. But in these last days, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So does God speak? Yes, he speaks. Does he speak in an audible voice? Yes. Oh, don't misunderstand me. That voice has been put for us in a book called the Bible. The Bible, the audible voice of God, became printed. It is here before us. So you don't need to hear an audible voice. What do I need to do? I need to read the Bible. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and what we hear from the word of Christ. You know, the earthquake means what? The earthquake and even the waters in the Bible, it's about chaos. It's about confusion. And the waters and earthquake speaks about judgment. It reminds us again, one day the voice of God will raise all the dead. I don't have time to read you the verses, but if you have time again later, read John chapter 5, verse 25, verse 28, verse 29. And Christ said, the hour is coming, and this is the hour. God will speak, and those who will hear his voice will be raised from the dead. And he was speaking not about the future resurrection of the dead, but even now, as you hear his voice, as you hear his voice now, as you believe on his sacrifice, on his atoning death on the cross of Calvary, you receive eternal life. Eternal life is given to you. Oh, my dear friends, forgive me my passion about these things. I wish I could say it in a more gentler way. But remember, this is God speaking to us. Will we hear? Will we listen to his voice? It is a tender voice. And he wants to save us. But if you do not face, you do not believe in him, the earthquake means there will be the judgment day. And even people who are going to church, who have never repented from their sins, you know what they will hear? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, the Lord Jesus Christ will say to them, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I have never knew you. What a sad verdict when that is said to somebody who is so used to go to church and to hear the word of grace week after week, but up till now he has never come personally. You know, this voice is a calling voice. It is a personal voice. God doesn't call us in general. He doesn't see us just as numbers, but he sees us individually, one by one. And he calls us by name. Fear God's judgment. Oh, my dear friends, my time is over. But let us look at the third one. Look at what God is going to do when you hear his voice. When you yield to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is here in verse 10 and 11. The Lord seated upon the flood. Yea, the Lord seated king forever. Christ is king forever, we know that. While everything is in a great tumult, God is imperturbable. God is unmovable. He is above the waters. Earthquake, tsunamis, pandemics, epidemics have nothing. They don't touch him at all. He is above those things. But these things are to speak to you and me. So it is important. He seated upon the flood as king forever. And in verse 11, look at verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Christ said that he is the good shepherd. Most people in this place of worship know that text, John chapter 10. What does Christ expect from his sheep? My sheep, he said, hear what? They hear my voice. So, you want to be a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to him. Come to him, and he will give you that peace. The verse says here, the Lord will bless his people with peace. He blesses the repentant sinner with the gift of peace. How do I get that peace? I sense my need. I'm a doomed and condemned. I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, be merciful to me. I want to be saved. I heard about hell. I heard about the condemnation of everyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't want to be in that lot. I don't want to be in that battalion of people who are enemies of the living God. Lord, be merciful to me and save me, Lord. The deluge, you know that. The deluge came in the time of Noah, but everyone who entered in the ark was saved. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he gives you peace. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We have the peace of God. We have his peace. John 14, verse 27, he said, my peace I give unto you. That is a part of his heritage. That is a part of his gift for us. But he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that he will give us peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, the storm of sin is evil. You know, when you find the peace of Christ, the storm of evil is quenched in you and me. The troubles of the earthquake of sin is quenched and stopped. Then I find tranquility. I find calmness. I find quietness because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I shall stand before God to be judged, I will hear Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no more condemnation for all those who trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, oh, come to Christ. He made peace by his blood. The kingdom of God is about peace. And he will quench the storm of sin in your life and give you way to heaven. Outside Christ, my dear friends, as I close, there is no peace. Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. I don't want to be listed among the wicked. I want to be among the righteous, because when Christ comes back, there will be a separation between the sheep and the goats. That's what we read in the Word of God. Oh, Christ became our peace, and he achieved that peace on the cross of Calvary. Instead of God being a terror to you, an earthquake to you, a tsunami to you, he will become a friend and a father. You know the text. I close with that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Christ is speaking and he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and we will sup. I will sup with him and him with me." This is the voice of the Lord. It is the voice of reconciliation. And with the Lord Jesus Christ in his hand, you are safe. May the Lord bless you and grant you that peace which passeth all understanding. Let's close our time together by our last hymn number 362. Hymn number 362.